flurries of fun await this winter in Indiana. Feel the rush of the Midwest's only refrigerated toboggan run. Ski down snow-covered slopes and marvel at frozen waterfalls on a winter hike. When it's time to unwind, from outdoor fun to indoor escapes, your perfect winter getaway starts in Indiana. Plan your trip today at inindiana.com/winter.
Looking for a new home should be exciting, not frustrating. That's why Homes.com might just be the best home shopping site out there. Imagine searching for your dream home without ads cluttering your view. Homes.com's sleek, beautifully designed, ad-free interface makes your search simple and distraction-free. And if you're a parent, you know how important school information is. Homes.com gets it. They're the only site with detailed school and district info from multiple sources, including reviews from Niche. Plus, they've got a super comprehensive and transparent agent directory, making it easy to find the right expert to guide your journey. Oh, and here's a game changer. Homes.com always connects you directly with a listing agent who knows the home best. They even go beyond the basics, offering the most in-depth neighborhood content of any home shopping site, packed with details to help you find a community that feels like home. And the search tools? Unmatched. With 22 data visualization layers, 7 environmental layers, and filters for commute times and architectural styles, Homes.com truly is the home search you've been searching for. Go to Homes.com. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Yeah, sure thing.
Hey, you sold that car yet?
Yeah, sold it to Carvana.
Oh, I thought you were selling to that guy.
The guy who wanted to pay me in foreign currency, no interest, over 36 months? Yeah, no. Carvana gave me an offer in minutes, picked it up, and paid me on the spot. It was so convenient.
Just like that?
Yeah.
No hassle?
None.
That is super convenient.
Sell your car to Carvana and swap hassle for convenience. Pickup fees may apply.
There he is, Brian Kenny, MLB Network. He's scheduled to join us right now here on Wisconsin Sports Daily, served up by Wendy's on the Fan. Brian joins us. Good afternoon, Brian. Thanks for coming on, man. Appreciate it.
My pleasure. How are you doing?
Doing good. Before we get into the top 10 nows, and then we have the top 100 now that you guys started last night on MLB Network, I want to ask you the question that we did in the last segment and get your thoughts on this. Does parity in the MLB supersede the economic disparity in payrolls?
You mean which is optimal, or which do I like, or what are you asking?
For me, my answer to this is, because everybody says, well, you got parity in baseball. It doesn't matter that the Dodgers have close to $400 million in payroll and the Brewers only have $100 million. It's not that big of a deal because all these different teams are winning. It's not like somebody's winning three in a row like the Chiefs are about to do or something like that. And that's the out when we talk about economic disparity in payroll is there's parity in baseball, so kind of be quiet.
Well, I tell you what, I like a bunch of things, and there's a few things to be wary about, I would say. One, let me tell you, I like the idea of a super team. I like the idea of, we had all-time great Yankees teams, and, in the NFL a generation ago, you had the 49ers and the Cowboys, and they just stood above everybody else. I like that. I think, there have been, studies on that. I think they did studies years ago in the Premier League saying, if you have a super team that everyone aims for, that everyone is gunning for, that's good for the general health of the league. Now, that can eventually turn bad, but on the by and large, I like it. So I love that the Dodgers have become the evil empire, 3.0, whatever they are. That said, there could be a line that you don't want to cross. You don't want to have like a super league where you have, like you have now, like three or four $300 million teams where teams who are sort of like upper middle class, and maybe that's more St. Louis than Milwaukee, but teams that are kind of like trying, Minnesota, St. Louis, where they're legitimately spending a lot of money but are suddenly, low on resources as compared to the super teams. I think the competitive balance tax has, on the by and large, kept the runaway trains from running too far away, but it's possible that the Dodgers are on the verge of being that sort of team that is a little farther out than you'd like.
He is Brian Kenny, MLB Network studio host over there. They've been doing their top 10 now segments, and the Brewers getting some love here. William Contreras, number one at catcher. Left field, you guys did, and Yelich was four, and Jackson Chourio made it to the top 10 as well. I think from a Brewer fan perspective, maybe people were taken a little bit back by the fact that Churio was ahead, or that Yelich was ahead of Churio. Can you explain more about that?
Well, the shredder, for example, takes into account like a larger sample size. So all you have from Churio is that 1 year to go by. Whereas Yelich, you know, as compared to, we have Yelich in left field, and we had Churio. Where was Churio?
Left.
Was also left field,
yep.
And right field.
Correct, left field. Yep.
So we know exactly where he was going to go. So the shredder takes into account a 2 to 3 year sample size, where we're free to put guys anywhere we want. I know I wanted to put Churio even higher. I think I had, I had Yordan Alvarez one. I couldn't put Churio ahead of Jarren Duran, given the season he just came off of, which is so fantastic. But again, I don't have to follow what the shredder says, but the shredder is following its basic methodology, and we don't mess with it. You know, whatever our proprietary metric spits out, we stay with. So it is what it is. You know, the guy's production speaks for itself, and it lands them where it lands them.
And it's good because you had on, tell me if I got the name right, Vince Gennaro. Is that how you say his name? The former president of Sabre.
Yeah.
And he had Churio at two in his ranking of left fielders.
Correct. And, you know, we're free to project. I know people get caught up in, you know, oh, Bobby Witt was fourth. And I'm like, well, Bobby Witt was number one on my list, and he was number one on Mark DeRosa's list. And look, because we're able to, you know, make our own decisions, and we have our own proprietary metric that, again, I would tell fans, you know, the strength of it and the weakness are the same. You know, it spits out a number, it spits out a ranking, and we don't mess with it. We don't say, oh, let's adjust that a little bit. No, we don't do that. That would render it useless.
Correct.
So it is what it is. Like Bobby Witt, for example, was number four because he has this one fantastic breakout year, but the year before he was quite good, but he wasn't an all-time great. So the shredder's just looking at his overall production and can't look in and think, oh, I think this is just the start of something great for this guy. No, it doesn't do that. It just measures what the player actually does.
So when we talk about the top 100 players right now, last night it was 81 to 100. And the next show coming up will be Tuesday night at 8 o'clock. We'll get to 80 to 61, and this will go on here over the next couple of weeks. Is that essentially taking the player rankings that we already have and then putting them together, meaning Churio's not going to get in front of Yelich on this top 100 based on the numbers we already have? Or is this taken from a different perspective?
You know, I'm not sure. I don't host that show. That's Greg Amsinger who does that. But I know our research department also comes up with its rankings on that. But I'm
so
not
it could
sure
be different.
I don't know. I'm sure if they're bound to the same sample size,
right,
that they do with the shredder.
Good. All right. Good. So yeah, we'll look forward to seeing that. The Brewers have a conundrum, I guess, on the infield a little bit right now. Obviously, losing Willy Adames in free agency, like was expected. You have Joey Ortiz at third. You have Bryce Terang at second base right now, both capable of playing shortstop, or they do something in trade or in free agency. And to this point, they've been super quiet on doing anything. What would be your expectation of what you think the Brewers will do?
Now, I think they've already addressed it, you know, and this is what they do. They're a very smart organization, very organized. I think, you know, in making that trade to get Ortiz, they had in mind, this will be our future plan. Unless they make some trade for you know, down the line, like they did for Adames, you know, you make that trade and you think he's ready to plug in, and he was, or you make something that's going to happen in the future with someone at a little lower level. But it seems like they've got what they need. You know, is it? It'd be better to keep Adames, of course, but you know, that's, you know, they're playing the game within their budget, and they have to do what they have to do. That said, it's a very good plan. You know, that, I mean, it's a pretty good approximation of what they had, even though Adames was a terrific player.
Last year, the Brewers, you know, beat the Cubs by, 10 games inside of that division. I don't think anybody had the Brewers win the division prior to the year. Pat Murphy obviously ends up with Manager of the Year, something that Craig Counsell was never able to do in Chicago. Cubs far more active this winter, adding Tucker and Presley from Houston. How do you see this division now as we sit today?
Ah, can't you see it? A glistening 100-megawatt solar field begging to be built? It's photovoltaic modules and balance of system powering a renewable energy tomorrow that's squeaky clean? We know that unless you have the right supplier, that world might just be a fantasy. But here at Graybar, with years of renewables experience, we live in that world. Get in touch to see for yourself.
We are now ready to depart.
Book your visit at graybar.com.
Yep, Graybar does that.
Gearing up for the big game? We are too. Join us on the Moth Podcast for a special episode dedicated to hilarious true stories about football, family, and growing up.
I loved Franco Harris so much that in 1975, I invited him to my bar mitzvah. And he was so cool that he actually sent me a telegram.
Each week on the Moth Podcast, we share stories that are funny, strange, and above all, true. Find the Moth Podcast on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Yeah, I think it's very competitive, and I think the Cubs made big moves. So I would say you could look at them and have them favored. That said, the Brewers were wire to wire last year, and Woodruff coming back, I don't know with complete terms of his health, but even without Devin Williams, they were pretty good in the bullpen without Williams last year. So yeah, I think what I did last year, that the Brewers would be competing for a playoff spot. Last year, they showed from the get-go they were clearly better than that, you know, that they were going to be leading that division, and they held it all year long. But, yeah, Kyle Tucker is an impact bat, the big-time player. The Cubs have made a bunch of moves. If they get full health, they're going to be tough to deal with. I would have them favored. And the Reds are, depending on what that big bushel of young players does, they might be able to make a run as well.
Brian Kenny, studio host for MLB Network, joining us here on Wisconsin Sports Daily, served up by Wendy's on the Fan. I had a question from one of my buddies, wanted to ask you, and I don't know if you have an answer to this or not, but his question is, why do you think Vegas always underrates the Brewers' win totals? Last year was like 76.5. This year it's at like 81. Cubs were projected higher win total. That was even before the Tucker trade from the Astros. Why do you think that tends to be year in and year out? They kind of underrate the Brewers.
Yeah, that's puzzling. I know why, I would think that Vegas is operating off some sort of, their own Pecota system, if you know what I mean, right?
Sure.
The Baseball Prospectus projection system. So probably, again, there are more intricate things happening within the Brewers' roster that make them good, that make them better than competitive, that just aren't showing up in their raw production. Now, if they had, let's say, Yelich is completely healthy, does a full season. Contreras does a full season. Reese Hoskins has a season like he had 4 years ago. That's like very quantifiable production. That's easy. But, being more than the sum of your parts doesn't come out in the projections, and it probably isn't recognized by the Vegas odds.
The other thing I wanted to bring up to you, because you're an advanced analytics guy far more than I am, but the one thing that bothers me about all of these awards that are given out, whether it be, MVP awards, whether it be even the Hall of Fames, where you have voting for the Hall of Fames for basketball, football, baseball, whatever, do you think we'll ever get to the point to where it's just going to be a formula? And if you hit certain numbers and whatever the advanced stat is that you're using, you're in the Hall of Fame. That's it. We're just going to take the human element out of it.
Yeah, no, I don't like that. I don't think we'll ever get to that. I think we can already see. Look, I was the guy who was, I was doing this on ESPN Radio, maybe it's 30 years ago. I was, yelling for some sort of objective methodology, and I would come up with all these different, peer analysis reviews to compare guys. And I would just use their rankings. Like, how often were you in the top 10 in slugging, on base, at the time, OPS plus? How many times were we in the top five? How many times were we in the top three? I had this whole weighted system because nobody was doing it. And I was saying, hey, there's a lot of like great players that were really undervaluing. And whether it was at the time Ron Santo or Mini Mignoso or, I guess maybe now it would be more like Chase Utley, let's say he's on the Hall of Fame ballot. Like now we automatically know how good. Like William Contreras being the number one catcher doesn't surprise people. I think years ago, we would have waited a few years. You would have had to have proven that for a number of years to get that high. So we have this objective methodology. That said, I'm now saying, hey, wait a second. WAR is just the beginning of your analysis. It shouldn't be the end. And I like to champion the cause now of a lot of Hall of Fame candidates that don't have the big WAR numbers. A guy like down ballot, like Jimmy Rollins. Like I've said this, about a number of players that are playing actively and a number of guys that are on the Hall of Fame ballot, where I don't think WAR and OPS plus do justice to their actual contribution. And I've said that about guys like Luis Arraez. I've said that about Jimmy Rollins. It doesn't have to be the same type of player, but there are certain things that WAR or OPS plus don't quite value. And it could be a number of things. It could be durability. It could be scarcity of skills, like a skill set that not many players have that these players do. And so I would hope we would never go to, like, that's the LPGA model, where you reach a certain point, boom, you're a Hall of Famer. I don't think we'll ever get to that, and I don't think we should.
My concern, Brian Kenny, is that I don't think a majority of writers have brain power like you do to analyze it the way you just did.
Well, you know what? I'll say this. When I wrote my book, Ahead of the Curve, and that's now like 8 years ago now, I look back at all the MVP votes, right? And I grew up thinking these writers are terrible. Their votes are terrible. MVPs, I'm going to, you know, in the 80s and 90s, they were awful. In the 2000s, they continued to be bad, looking at the wrong things. And so I went back to the 1930s when they started giving out MVP awards. And what I found really surprised me, that in the 30s, 40s, 50s, even well into the 60s, the writers kind of got it right. Like, they recognized who was the most valuable player in the league, like, pretty much year after year. And my summation was that the writers back then were going to the games. Like, these are the beat writers. There's only a handful of them that were, small parcel of them that were going to all the ball games. And they knew, like, back in the old days, a lot more pitchers that pitched 300 innings got MVPs, a lot more catchers, a lot more fielding shortstops got MVPs. They were recognizing what was being done on the field. So, I don't know. I want to see a beat writer, like, make a case for Jimmy Rollins. Or, you know, we had Susan Slusser on from the San Francisco Chronicle on our Top 10 Third Baseman Right Now show, and she had Matt Chapman number one. And I might disagree with her. I mean, I don't agree with her at all. I had Jose Ramirez number one, and I said I could get Chapman as high as number two, but not number one, not above Ramirez. But I will respect the fact that Susan Slusser is going to Giants games and watching Matt Chapman inning after inning. So I like that. Like, let's have a different point of view now and then. So I do like that. And anybody that's going to the games that says, hey, I don't know what it is, but I love this player, they're speaking to something that there might not be language on, but it is actually occurring out on the field that they're recognizing.
He's very, very good. Brian Kenny, studio host for MLB Network. Always want to check out all their great programming over at MLB Network. And go buy Brian's book. That's available on Amazon, right? I would assume, like everything else.
It's out there. It's out there. It's ahead of its time.
Yeah, it is. Ahead of its time. And now everybody is talking the same way you've been talking for 20 or 30 years. Brian, thank you so much for coming on, man. I appreciate it.
All right. My pleasure. I really enjoyed it. Thank you.